evening and welcome to another episode of Citizen Kane. It is the 5th of February, 2017, and we are live streaming on Facebook right now. We have been live streaming on YouTube for the longest time, but we're going to give Facebook another whirl. You can always find the links to that live stream event on our Facebook page, believe it or not, Citizen Kane. The webpage is citizenkane.org. You can find all previous videos there as well as the show notes to all the articles and videos and whatnot that we discuss during the program. If you are watching the live stream and you'd like to contact us, add your opinion to the conversation, that number to call is 267-521-2771. Or if you've got Skype, you can Skype us. The handle is Citizen Kane. And you can always get a hold of me during any time of the week via email. That address is show@citizenkane.org. And Shauna's here, and she's got a new email address. You get a hold of her via cherish. Say it for me. Shauna's upset with me because we just had this conversation 5 minutes ago, and I messed up the recording of the program. Cherish@citizenkane.org is Shauna's email address.
Cherish as in the verb.
Cherish as in she cherishes us all. So, my name is Conan Soliday. This, of course, is Cherish. I mean, Shauna Nash. Shauna, how are you in this cold, cold dungeon that we're working in right now?
Well, actually, not related to the cold at all, but it feels kind of freeing. Like driving through town on Easter or Christmas Day, mm-hmm. because it is the Super Bowl. So I know...
Sports ball.
See, it actually doesn't change anything because the show that people are going to watch on Cheshire TV isn't going on until Tuesday, mm-hmm. afterwards. And today, if anybody's watching the live stream right now, they're libertarians, and libertarians don't understand human things like sports.
Get those nerds!
Yeah.
So you're doing all right. You don't need sports ball to watch.
If it were interesting, the game itself.
Big dudes crashing into each other and getting concussions.
I've watched hockey and it's really fun to watch.
I'll have to watch.
Football. My work a couple years ago during the World Cup sent us all home 2 hours early specifically to watch the USA whoever game, mm-hmm. and it was paid time off, and everybody was furious because it was kind of sort of cultural or something, and you know, I didn't understand or care, and I'm like, well, I guess I'll just watch it. And it was a really good game. So it's not, to me, it's not about this. It's so boring though, football.
I agree, but it's not as boring as say golf or... Yeah, golf is like the real winner there, winner-loser.
Right. I mean, I've seen segments of football games where it is interesting and it is really exciting, mm-hmm. and everything, but it's a foreign language family to me. Not even like a foreign language. It's like the difference between like, I can't even get into it.
Well,
it's
we're not going to...
It's Tocharian B.
We've already talked way more football than I had even planned on.
And he only called it sports ball
once. Sports ball. So, little heads up for everyone out there watching. The Keene School District deliberative session is going to be taking place next Saturday, the 11th. I believe it starts at... I should have got the time. Eight or nine. If you are like me and you'd like to... maybe chisel some of that $1 million increase off of the budget, head on over there and add your numbers to the ranks of dissatisfied Keene residents, and maybe we can chip it down a little bit. I wouldn't mind chiseling off a million, make it match last year's budget. I think that'd be,
If you got it down $1... You would blow everybody's mind and get 50 new people to move to Keene for the Free State Project.
Last Saturday, as in yesterday...
Like a whole dollar. Whoa!
Monadnock had their deliberative session...
Yesterday,
and they were going to... Their budget, their proposed budget, operating budget, was way lower than the default. I think it was almost close to $2 million lower.
Well, do you have the punchline? Because I do.
Well, the punchline is they voted it up to match the default budget.
Yep. So you really have no choice, so don't bother voting, because the hell with it. Doesn't matter.
They had a lot more people attending that event. Usually we get about 100 at our sessions.
Well, what I've seen what I've seen is that Swansea, I think it's Swansea.
Swansea is part of that school district, yes.
That people tend to be, there were people from Swansea who are upset that there's projects that they want to do in Swansea, but they can't because so much of the money is going to, you know, they're covering most of the burden of the schools. Mm-hmm. But for now, at least, they don't really have as much of that problem in Keene, at least, because everybody...
It's crazy.
Well...
Well, that's happening next Saturday. I'll be there.
It's a culture you're not a part of, so.
We'll see what happens. This week, there was a big old event that took place on Thursday night. It was the filling of the the city council vacancy left by now Senator Kahn. There were 14 of us candidates.
14 of you.
14 candidates who were vying for that position, and we all got our butts over there to the city council and had 5 minutes to talk about why we were the best candidates for the position. I was impressed. I thought the turnout was big turnout for one thing, but I thought a lot of the candidates were good to go. I mean, they had good ideas. They were well spoken. There was one in particular that Shonda doesn't care much for, who it was more of a, I don't know, more of a gag.
Well, what I saw was that there were a lot of people, the 13, because one pulled out the night before or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They all made good presentations, and their audience was the city council and not me, the voter.
Correct, and that's the way these positions get filled. First time around, they get elected by the folks, by the people, in November, every 2 years. This time around, the vacancy, I mean, we're not going to take it back to the polls. I mean, that would be just costly, too expensive. This time around, it's actually a majority vote. At least 8 of city councilors get to select who they want in. And I don't know, if you have a city council who you're not particularly fond of, and you're actually trying to make changes, get people in there who you do agree with, this isn't the best way, because they're gonna fill it with their buddies. The one thing I did notice, and it did come down to two candidates, and I've got some video from each of those candidates. Both good guys, well spoken. They had good ideas. Of course, Bart Cepeda, who is a professor over at Keene State, was the one who ultimately got the position. But I did notice that when it did come time, the voting, the first round and the second round, everyone knew ahead of time who they were voting for. I did notice that. And you could see the divide in the room, and very telling.
I think there was one, it came down to everybody voted for Zepeda or Giacomo. There's one person who voted for another.
I think you're
somebody
right.
Named Doctor something, and I couldn't even, but they went so fast, so.
Yeah, I should have caught that. But the second time around, it was, you know, right down the row. And,
well, when the choices went between one A or B, then, yeah, it's going to go faster.
Let me just play Cepeda's closing arguments. I thought he did a pretty good job.
I would like to offer to you and to the residents, to all the residents of Keene, my experience, expertise, and above all, my very positive and constructive attitude towards resolving all kinds of issues to achieve greater sustainability, prosperity, and inclusiveness. Thank you for your time. Okay.
And I think he wrapped it up nicely. He did exactly what I didn't do.
Did not do at all.
I was told afterwards that my medicine might have been a little too strong, because many of the candidates said pretty much the same thing. But I definitely came off much. I came off as a little negative.
You were
little
the only
negative,
one
very
who,
very negative.
You were the only one who wasn't actually talking to the city council.
Right.
Because that's, you were kind of talking to alleged voters as if it were the regular people voting for you.
Well, maybe I know that you've gotten on to me about this before. I actually mentioned it on this actual show that I said that I don't have a chance in hell. But I do see this as an opportunity to actually have a conversation with the people so that next time around when it's actually the people doing the voting, maybe they will remember that video. Which, by the way, I took the entire proceedings are up on the YouTube page, Citizen Kane. I cut out some of the pauses and, of course, cut out all the other hour of city council meetings. So it's just an hour. It's if you're ever planning on running, it's probably a really good video to watch to get an idea of, you know, what works. And I think that both Giacomo, whatever his name is, Mike, and Cepeda, I think they did a really good job of putting it all together. And of course, and there were some humorous guys there. You can probably tell that they weren't planning on getting anywhere either. But it was an opportunity to, you know.
I think the two people who did win, they, to me, watching them, they didn't stand out that much. Mm-hmm. I mean, Giacomo came off as he went right before you, so you guys presented this wonderful contrast of very positive talking to them and bringing something. I mean, and even with Cepeda and his bringing a positive and constructive attitude, that there is no group that does not want somebody in their group who doesn't at least say out loud that they'll bring that. But yeah, neither of them had like an air of sucking up mm-hmm. to them at the same time.
I agree. So,
and a couple of people, I don't know. They did better than I did. That's all I'll say.
Well, I did notice one thing. All right. So, of course, Cepeda got the most votes first time around. He has been working with city council after, you know, starting after the Pumpkin Fest riots. So they already knew him.
As somebody he's got they can rely on.
He's got a pretty sweet accent. He's a good looking guy.
Polish.
And he's a professor, which happens to be, you know, at Keene State. And, of course, the guy he's replacing happened to be at Keene State. He was, I don't remember what his position. He was some kind of administrator, right?
I have no idea.
Con did something. The college. And so they're basically just kind of replaced Con with another colleger. And now they've got their connection. With the city and the college have a connection.
Well,
good thing.
The city and the college already have a connection. I mean, students at the college are basically, from what I've read, they're kind of on lockdown. It seems very like they're not adults living on their own. They are babysat by every corner of city local government.
And they really proved that they were able to work on their own after that stupid riot. If they weren't on lockdown before, they are definitely on it now after that happened. All kinds of policies have been put into place to make sure that never happens again. And yes, the city and the college do work pretty closely. So here is and I messed his name up. He's gonna say it in a second. He's gonna correct me. This is Mike's spiel.
Yeah, everybody says his name differently.
Keene, like many communities, has an aging workforce, and students in New Hampshire's colleges simply aren't staying in New Hampshire after graduation. The trend is well documented, and the only way to reverse it is for communities like Keene to understand the underlying causes by bringing those who are closest to the issue into the decision-making process. To bring in a perspective from the underrepresented demographic of young professionals, the understanding of whose needs will be critical for the continued prosperity of the city. I'm not an experienced politician, statesman, or even public servant. My recollection of Robert's rules can be rusty at times. However, I've been attending and following city council sessions to ensure that I have the ability to hit the ground running were I to be chosen to serve. I promise you that as counselor, I will not hesitate to reach out to the more tenured counselors for guidance, both administrative and substantive. I promise that the votes I cast and the contributions I make will be based in sound logic, thoughtful consideration, and an understood responsibility to my neighbors. I promise that my words and actions as Keene City Councilor will be with utmost respect to Keene's legacy, attentiveness to Keene's present, and enthusiasm for Keene's future. With this, I kindly request your vote. Thank you.
So, yeah, I could have said all of those same things and not gone against my own personal message. And at the same time, not making, you know, promises. Yeah, not making promises that I, you know, couldn't keep. But, yeah, hit the ground running. Great. Look up to and talk to, you know, the experienced council members. Good move. Good call. And not negative about it either. It sounded, you know.
Yeah, there were no Jeremiads.
Even though he was talking about issues like the, you know, the workforce replacements, the baby boomers who were going to get ready to start retiring pretty soon, if they're not already.
So. I wish.
I didn't get any votes, but Shauna's favorite person in the world, who is just happens to be the king of Keene.
Yep, he ran. And shut up.
Conan Saladay had some very excellent things to say. He presented them in a way that I hope the council listened very, very, very carefully to what he had to say.
So I guess there's
taken a couple of ways.
I guess there's
to be
that.
Real about it. That could be taken a couple of ways.
Hey, I'm going to take what I can get.
You know, that would go in line with what I've been saying. It's how you frame it.
No.
Yeah, it was a lot of sitting and listening and trying to not be self-conscious, as usual, but I thought it was, yeah.
It was. Well, I did make her sit and watch and listen to the entire thing. We did, there were two presentations before the actual election, and very interesting. This is something that I did not know.
I do want to go on to Bradford's presentation. It showed a very...
I don't have that video.
That's fine. I can describe it well.
Okay, so we're still talking about the election. Sorry.
So he was the clip that you showed was him, for some reason, he's giving his 5-minute speech about why he should, you know, be city councilor, but he's talking about you.
Well, he went up there.
What happened was he went up and he said, "Hello, I'm not here to actually do anything. You know, I know I'm not going to be chosen." And a lot of jokes between members and, "Oh, I know everybody here," and jokes and jokes and jokes. But really what I'm going to do is I'm going to just give my verdict on everybody who is running mm-hmm. based on what I've read and what I've seen so far. And he said, you know, these...
Which he was completely in his right to do because the mayor came right out and says, "You guys have 5 minutes, do whatever you want." We could have got up there and done a little dance.
Then I have
little
no point
jig.
To make then. Let's go on. Let's go on. No, what else happened today?
No, hold on. No, so he got up there and he took his entire opportunity to talk about himself and why he was going to run. To talk about everyone else. And he was kind of mean to two of the girls. One of them dropped out. The other one was sitting right there, and she hadn't even gone up yet. That was kind of mean. But he also, you know, he said, you know,
well, he said so-and-so is good to go. Some people, yeah. I just thought it was very clear. Actually, we should go on to the next item.
Okay, so there were
because I will bring it up later.
There were two hearings before the election. One of them caught my attention. The way that highways are funded and repaired in the city, they are not pay as you go, as I thought. You know, I thought there's a road that needs to be repaired. We're going to take this amount of money out of a line item in the budget. No, for many, many, many years, who knows how long, they've been taking out bonds as part of the CIP.
The capital improvement project.
Correct. So, like every 6 years, they take bonds out. Actually, the way that Thornton, the finance director, was talking about, they take a bond out between a $1.2 million and a $1.5 million bond each year to pay for these projects. And
they pay it off every year and then get a new one?
No. No.
Oh my God.
He said that, and I really wish I could have had the slideshow. I couldn't find it anywhere on the City of Keene's website. It's there somewhere. But $1.5 million bonds every year, and over the course of 6 years, they will have accrued $8.1 million in debt. Debt.
That sounds like a nightmare.
And I don't know that this number is right, but it was on the slideshow. He said it was 49% of Keene's general fund debt. Now, I remember seeing the number is Keene is $23 million in debt for all of our projects.
Why am I here?
The ice rink and the firehouse and all of this comes out to 23. So I don't know what that 8.1 million, what percentage of that is of that. Overall debt, unless I'm looking at the wrong numbers. But yeah, Keene has some good debt. But this, taking out bonds for $1.5 million every year, why isn't that a line item in the budget?
If they know that they're going to spend, well, maybe the money is just a guess and it gets rolled over.
It's not a guess. This is what they do every year.
Right, but I mean, I'm trying to imagine that they know, okay, next year we're going to do like when I lived on Forest Street, they paved Forest Street at least twice the year that I lived there. So they look and they say, okay, we got to pave Forest Street again because there's the paint got dingy or something. And it's going to cost, it's going to cost exactly $1.5 million. And then, maybe that's.
No, they definitely plan on which roads are going to get did. And it changes from year to year. And, of course, they also talked about some of the worst roads in Keene. And one of them is Jordan, which that's where all the rich people live. I found that strange.
It's very far away.
It's far away, and it's less traveled, too. It doesn't get as much travel as, Court Street, West Street,
right,
Washington Street. So, anyways, good news. Here I am. Saying I didn't know this was even going on. They're actually in the works trying to plan a pay-as-you-go road repair system. The problem is the transition. So right now they owe debt. They've made plans. They owe this debt, and they want to move to, they want to transition to a system where they pay every single year. The problem is that the transition is going
to
hurt.
To do that, you would have to get the debt paid off before you can spend, assume it costs $1.5 million each year to do road. They need to put that $1.5 million, whatever it is, into the debt that they have before they can spend $1.5 million on roads.
So basically. So what they were saying, Thornton and the other engineer, they were saying that it would, for a few years there, there will be less maintenance in order to catch up, so some of our roads could get pretty dingy. Good news is we are going to save a lot of money, and I'm really glad that
I think the good news is I lived off of Washington Street for about I want to say 7-8 months, and I had a friend who lived there before, and I go visit her. And Upper Washington Street, after the rec center, up to Old Concord Road, was horrible.
Yeah.
Like, you do not drive. You try to drive in the center of the road.
When I first moved here, Washington Street was horrible.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Washington Street up from...
Which is a well-traveled road.
Just after the rec center, up to Old Concord Road, it was massively horrible. For years. Hmm. For years, you could not... and I even, when I worked at Domino's, people would mention, my parents are driving in from Concord or wherever to visit Keene State. That's the first road that they see. And it's so horrible. And it gives you a horrible impression of Keene until you get, about a football field down and you're like, oh, civilization. So Keene has had horrible roads that were highly traveled and nobody did anything about it for years. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, either because of or despite the wrath of God, Keene still exists. So, you know, the panic of, oh, no, we're going to have these terrible roads. They're not going to be maintained. It's kind of like, well, it's not going to be the end of the world. I mean, you know, there's so many places in Keene where I'm driving and, you know, you just, at this area, you just slide over to the center for a little bit. And if you see somebody coming in the other direction, well, you slow down or you just, you know, go through the pothole. It's, you know, not, we'll all live because for some reason we've lived before.
Well, I think it's good. They will be talking about this. There's going to be a workshop in the spring. And so this will be back on the table. We'll be probably talking about it again. And I think it's a great idea. And like I said, I didn't even know about it. There's no telling how many other bad decisions are being made.
Or systems in the, of payment.
In the city.
Like, why?
That we could really be saving money if we just, you know, tried to find other better ways to do things. I think this is something the city manager might have brought to the city's attention. I don't know how this got brought up, but I think it's great. More of it. So and during this hearing, I did notice some crazy hypocrisy that really bugs me. I see it everywhere. I see it at the school a lot, at the deliberative sessions we're going to be going to next Saturday. I see this phenomenon taking place, and it's so aggravating. So anyways, the mayor, two times during the meeting, stopped to thank us all. Okay, that's great. It's nice that he stopped to thank us.
You candidates for running.
Correct.
For getting up here and...
So he completely derailed the conversation and to stop and go off on a rant about how nice he thought it was that there were so many people who wanted to be active in government. And then there was another one we're going to talk about in a second about some alleged racism going on in the city. He he basically, you know, had his moment and he talked about it for 2 minutes. All right, well, that's all good and all. But someone else kind of wanted to say something.
Finally, on another note.
This is in the beginning.
Since the election this past...
I brought up the wrong one. Hold on.
Oh, well, that... Okay, you don't want...
if anybody has any questions at this point...
Okay, let me set this up. So anyways, this is after the hearing. They talked about how much money we're going to save.
The presentation of the road, the pay-as-you-go program.
Correct.
And the pros and cons.
Great, great, great hearing. He asks if anyone has any questions.
But if anybody has any questions at this point, Councilor Sutherland.
Thank you, Your Honor. And thank you for that presentation. I think it's great that the city is taking a hard look at alternative funding. Mm-hmm. It's something that if, you know, the more that we can reduce our spending on debt interest, the more money it frees up for some of the activities we want to do and or cutting our tax rate. And cutting our tax rate could elevate property values.
Excuse
right
me,
now,
Councilor, do you have
decline.
A question?
So what I wanted to do
is... an opportunity to ask questions, not to deliver
the
issue.
What I wanted to do is I wanted to ask, that seemed like a kind of a simplified...
All right, so he asked two questions, but yeah, I mean, he was already done talking. I mean, how long did he talk? 20 seconds? Thanks, guys, for coming up with this. This is a great idea. It's going to help the taxpayers. And as soon as he said that, you saw this, Sean. As soon as he said
elevating property values, that's when he immediately said, hey, you stop. This is for questions. You're not asking a question. You need to ask a question. Do you have a question? If you have a question, you can talk. If you don't have a question, you're not here to just grandstand.
Oh, by the way, let me stop this entire meeting to thank the candidates who came out.
I'll grant him that. It was the meeting wherein you guys came and showed up. And so it makes sense to thank you guys. Or maybe it made sense to thank the girl that Bradford was really rude to.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, when I watched this question, when Sutherland was first talking, I was following along. I was listening to what he's saying. And as soon as he said, or raising, he first said, you know, oh, we could do what? Other stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I guess so. He's one of them. And he says, or decrease property taxes. I'm like, yeah. Like, I was really, like, interested in what he was saying. And, like, yeah, this is what they're, I could connect what they were presenting, the pay-as-you-go program, the pros and cons and everything, to value for Keene residents. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, okay, you know, the city could use the money saved by pay-as-you-go program for a second ice rink right across the street from the original ice rink.
Great.
That'd be great.
That'd be great.
Or, wow, you know, Sutherland's presenting a very different idea. No, you need to ask a question. If you're not asking a question, you need to stop. And he even had a really, he actually had a good question about, you know, well, what kind of, the difference between Jordan Road being horrible and Upper Washington Street being horrible.
And how do they prioritize?
Do they put that into their system of
It has to do with the traffic.
I think the answer was basically, yeah, we put that into it. But, so you see the hypocrisy and he's stopping the, you know, Kendall Lane is stopping everything when he wants to talk about something, but when somebody else is supposedly grandstanding or not talking, as soon as he says property taxes, because he didn't stop him when he just kind of was rambling. I don't mind it at all, but he took a long time, but they all do.
Yeah.
They all do. There's one of the counselors, and when they talk, I honestly just get visions of, you know, old Grateful Dead interviews on YouTube where they literally cut him out and he's still rambling.
Audience listening, but who is the Grateful Dead city councilor? See if you can guess. You'll get 10 points.
It's a clickbait episode. But what I noticed was Kendall Lane's sense of this violates decorum. Yep. This is not right. This is not following along with what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be, you know, you're grandstanding. And I see the thank you for your courage and all that is not grandstanding. It just kind of makes sense. But, and this is going back to Bradford's presentation, when, you know, you said, oh, yeah, he's got 5 minutes. He can do whatever he wants. Do whatever he wants. And he used his time to insult people and make really not funny jokes. Maybe it's because I'm not one of the people that he knows that he claimed he knew and who knows me and I know him or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm just jealous, but I thought his presentation was really unprofessional, which makes sense, duh, and was just very rude. I mean, the girl that he said, she doesn't have experience because they're young and they'll get experience and we need women in charge of everything. Yeah, okay, I don't know about that. But the girl he was speaking to directly was right there.
Yep.
She had yet to say anything. And I'm glad that I would not have chosen her if I was on city council. But it just was, I just felt so much, you know, sympathy and like, oh my God, that's so horrible that somebody would do that to just psych you out right there, right before you go.
Well,
she might have been nervous anyway.
And it was rude and it was uncalled for, but you know what?
And yes, he had his 5 minutes.
This is a position.
It is a position where you got to be horrified and mortified by people screaming at you and all that. And
correct.
But Kendall Lane didn't. He was just going along with the grab ass himself with Bradford and everybody else because that's his 5 minutes and everything. You know darn well that if who's the most scary free stater in Keene? Ian, no last name. Or choose your last name adventure, everyone. Whatever. Or anybody else got up to say something totally bizarre, like, we should all take a drink for some reason right now of water, ha, ha, ha. Or, you know, at the school deliberative session, when Ian has said, you know, oh, well, watch my show Free Talk Live or something.
I don't know that he's ever done that.
He's done that a couple years ago. And, you know, everybody's, like, ready to throw him in the slammer.
Yeah, and I'm glad you bought
so
this cool...
So he can bring up, you know, somebody can't bring up decorum or go on some hijack comment that doesn't make any sense when Kendall Lane doesn't like it. But if it's somebody that he, you know, is on a, you know, hey man, good relationship with, or it's something that he likes, then that's totally cool. Or he can go on whatever.
In the past.
And I'm not saying like, oh, this is illogical, because how dare it be illogical? It makes sense, but it's exactly what it looks like. It's just not conducive to having any respect for the position of mayor or the city council as an august body with disinterested feelings for civil service.
Well, bringing up the deliberative session, what I have seen is they will go on tangents. They will talk about for 10 minutes about how the kids are selling cookies.
But they're talking about the kids.
Exactly. And or someone is retiring, and they'll take 10 minutes to you know, flag wave some guy who's retiring off.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone gets up and wants to propose a silly amendment, and they get booed out of the room.
Yeah.
And yelled at by the moderator.
Right.
It's very hypocritical.
And I've seen that happen in city council meetings.
Except you never hear about that because they're in charge and they run the show.
Well, and to be honest about it, there's been times when they, you know, people have come up and suggested wacky amendments or, you know, your 1% cap was changed to 10% and then somebody is really going to change, amend it to 8% and we all have to vote on that. And I am with everybody else and I'm like, throw them out. This is ridiculous. This is killing everybody's time and all that.
Yeah.
So I understand it, but that same, you know, you're not going in. It's just as childish. I mean, you know darn well that if, you know, Ian or some other Free Stater spent his, if you had given a more, a meaner, not that I recommend that, a meaner 5 minutes where you just listed all the sins of city council, they would have thrown you out.
They wouldn't.
I think so.
No, well, maybe if I was like screaming and maybe if I flipped the table over or something.
Perhaps, but I don't know.
Well, I noticed it. I don't know how many other people who saw that noticed it. I picked up on it immediately. But I guess that's because I'm in the minority and I was actually in agreement with what was being said. And all of a sudden, bam, nope, you got to shut up. I want to save taxes. Ah, bam, shut up. So something else happened. Allegations were made. And I'm going to play what Mr. Mayor said about it.
Finally, on another note, since the election this past November, there have been several instances of intolerance and boorish behavior in this community. There have been students from both Antioch and Keene State College who have been stopped on the street and harassed as a result of their ethnicity. They have been treated badly, and I know of at least three students who are seriously considering leaving college where they are currently attending because they feel unsafe in this community. For a community that has a reputation for progressive politics, I find this incredibly disturbing. And I will be speaking out on a regular basis in conjunction with this type of intolerance and this type of behavior, and the community cannot be accept it. I'm going to be asking the City Council in the near future to pass a resolution relating to this matter, but I think that it's important that we all pay attention, that we do not tolerate it when we see it happening, that we step in to stop it, and that this community is not going to be one that people need to feel unsafe or prejudiced against for whatever reason. And I think it's incredibly important that we take not only take a public stand, but we take action to prevent this from happening in the future.
So, a couple of things. I am most definitely in agreement on one thing he said. Don't tolerate it. You see some racism going on, do not tolerate it. Put your foot down and you make that stuff go away. You say something. All the other things, like creating a resolution to deal with this.
What's that going to do?
Oh, God. And also keep in mind, you know, this guy, you know, a couple of months ago was talking about pedestrian accidents on Main Street, making it sound like we were, you know, half a dozen people were dying every year. When he was actually referring to someone who died like 20 years ago on a bike. This is in response to creating a committee to study the downtown area and maybe even removing one of the lanes.
To make that a bike lane?
It's two lanes right now. Make it a bike pedestrian lane. So these allegations, and by the way, and I'm pretty sure one of them he's talking about is the stupid swastika that was burned into the ceiling at Keene State.
Oh, yeah, the guy, the one that was at, I don't know if it was in, there was one, yeah, one in the ceiling, and then one I thought was, like, at level with somebody sitting on a toilet in a men's toilet stall.
Yeah, and they were removed, and I don't know if that has ever been solved, if they tracked down the person who did it, and what you can actually do about it, except that they were defacing property.
It was defacing property, I mean... I saw a lot of swastikas in Southern California, so
yeah, this is
as graffiti at bus stops and everywhere.
It is not acceptable, but to lose your mind over something silly like this, I find silly. I find it a waste of time. I find it a gut wrenching or a knee jerk reaction to little things.
Well, what I noticed when I first, as I was sitting there and I heard him say this, my first reaction was, you know, students are being harassed or whatever. My first initial honest knee-jerk emotional reaction was, people shouldn't do that. That's...
No, they shouldn't do that. You should...
Why? No, that's not right. You don't do that. But then I realized, you know, I have seen this happen before. I've seen this movie several times, and I don't know. I mean, I figured during it, you know, well, there are some boorish people in Keene. There are some people in Keene and the Keene area who work in Keene who say, oh my, wow, things that are just, I'm really surprised that they worked where I worked.
Yeah,
they
from every aisle, by the way, both sides.
Well, from every aisle, and even from aisles that I didn't know they even knew about. I heard, you know, a synonym for strange. I heard that one deliberately spelled out, stressed at the top of her lungs at a job that I had, and you know, I. Clearly context and all that, but it just was amazing. Almost refreshing, except that it's just
They're
weird.
I am not going to say that. So we're in a very white community. They're not conservatives, but they have old timey conservative feelings on things, and they don't want to change, and they don't want to move on, but they're not that many. I mean, we have really moved so far into better, safer territories, but to make a big deal about it like that's what I'm really getting at is the big deal that is being made about this.
Well,
to create a resolution dealing with this.
I've been offended by stuff on, you know, different.
Yeah, grow spine.
Different fathers, different from the same mother, and all that. And I've heard my brothers from a different father say stuff about the ethnicity of me and my brother that. The racial slurs that they used back then don't even exist anymore. They don't even register with people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not even offensive. It's just like, it doesn't make any sense. It's a different planet that they're from. And, you know, once I learned that they were insulting me, you know, I got over it. I've heard horrible things being the youngest and only daughter in a family. I've heard, you know, it is a matter of grow a spine, and also recognize that some people just are going to offend you. And, you know, so that's all on that side. The other side is, you know, when I was listening to it and I, you know, sat through the clapping and I'm like, well, I wonder what actually happened.
I'm very curious.
You know, I've walked across the street and an ex-boyfriend thought that I didn't say hello to him properly. So he crossed the street, you know, jaywalked and started screaming at me and all that in Keene, and I didn't report it. I told one person and we laughed at him and all that, and you know, but somebody else could report that as assault.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so I've also been actually assaulted before in my life, not in Keene, because Keene is a great city. You know, so it's kind of like
it isn't these days. Now we're falling apart supposedly.
Going to the dogs.
You know, one.
So what actually happened? What were the, you know, and I was like, well, they'll report it in the Sentinel. Obviously what he said was very important to him. It was the first thing he said before they actually started with everything. So I'll read about in the Sentinel what actually happened. Nobody's saying anything.
Nope.
There's nothing from Keene State officials or Antioch officials. There's no
from the police. There's no police blotter.
Police aren't talking. He didn't really, and you know, it understands if they talked to him personally that he would, you know, not say, oh, you know, Joe Smith was, you know, attacked or whatever. So we don't really know. There's probably somebody in Keene in the area said something stupid or, you know, threatened something. Because, I mean, there's also a high school out here. People are hideous in high school. They do the most horrible things. They say horrible things. So
here's one thing to remember before you start making assumptions. Where did this come from? It came from the college. It came from the realm of microaggressions.
Microaggressions.
Yeah, I mean, I had a conversation with a black individual who thought someone was racist to him because they butt him in line. And I had to have this conversation. It's like, are you serious? He was just an a-hole. He was. How do you know he was racist? He's just an a-hole.
People don't butt in line in Keene.
But because we have learned that, you know, we're surrounded because of this conversation. Because he's having this conversation right now and he's making a big deal about it. So people hear that. It's like, oh my God, we're surrounded by racists. They're everywhere. We got to do something. We got to create legislation to nip this in the bud before it happens for all those racists out there.
Taken without any context, I understand Keene. I understand being against racism and being against the idea of since, you know, evil person was elected, then people are reacting. Whatever.
Oh, you mean like burning Berkeley down?
Yeah, that anti-gay riot in Berkeley. It's terrible. I'm ashamed to be a UC graduate.
Oh, God. Hey, so we got to move on. We were running out of time. There was one other thing I saw, and this is turning out to be a whole... This whole episode is nothing but city council. How do you like
Aren't
that?
Aren't they happy?
So, bag ban. This was something that we've talked about on the show before. Not something I support. I think that it should be a voluntary move on the parts of supermarkets and stores if they want to save the world, because they think that plastic is plastic. The making of plastic bags and the disposal of them is ruining the world.
The co-op doesn't have plastic bags.
I know that Market Basket, where we shop, they have a big mountain of boxes right out in the front of the building there where you can, if you want to...
Use that instead.
Use that instead of bags. And that's what we do every time. I grab a box.
Yeah.
We also we shop at Market Basket and we shop at Aldi's. Aldi's, you have to buy your stupid bags. So what do? We get a box. We get a box from there. So, I mean, you've got two agencies, institutions in the area who are already, you know, taking care of this.
There are options available.
Maybe this is just a conversation that should be had instead of actually trying to create legislation, which is what is being done. HB 481, which I believe will be spoken on this week, as in Tuesday, probably, of... this week. And there goes my screen.
And this doesn't say that the state is banning plastic bags. It's saying cities and towns have the authority to ban or not ban.
Correct. So before, the last time we were talking about this, they wanted to create an ordinance that would prevent plastic from being used and or their attacks would be levied on supermarkets who handed them out, dispensed them. This new law, HB 481, would add to the powers of municipalities prohibiting the distribution of disposable plastic shopping bags to consumers and or requiring retailers to collect a charge from customers for disposable plastic shopping bags. So this would give the towns and the cities the ability to do those two things. And it was requested by this state representative that...
Who's
a sponsor of the bill, that we actually send our mayor, or not, I'm sorry, our lawyer, Mullins, to Concord to speak on this bill. And it got changed and whittled down to writing a memo to be sent saying that we support it. And I do have some video.
Yep, you do.
And talks, it's interesting because it's good video because it talks about... most people are not in support of the bag ban, but there is a key issue that is brought up that I think is very important, and if it ever passes, we'll not be able to live here in Keene anymore. Because that's the way that works.
I'm fine with that.
I move that a letter of support from the City Council be sent to the Municipal and City Municipal and County Government Committee on HB 481.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Councilor Richards.
Yeah. This is to allow local communities to write rules regarding plastic bags. It's not an endorsement of anything we went through on the committee. It's merely having the state pass this so that local communities can have that option. You know, much talk about what happened, but this is really a question of us determining our own fate. I support this because I believe that any time local communities can be allowed to make their own decisions, they should be.
The legislation does not take any position whatsoever on whether we should or should not regulate plastic bags or what that regulation should look like. It is merely an authorization for us to make that decision and to decide locally how we wish to proceed on this issue. So ultimately, if this legislation passes, then the City Council will have the authority to make whatever decision they want to make or none whatsoever relating to plastic bags. But this is really just enabling legislation.
I do not support a letter supporting this bill. This bill is actually a scapegoat of the state legislator, because they don't want to put them into the position of voting for a statewide ban on plastic bags, which is what we should be doing. Doing it individually by town certainly isn't going to work. This issue did come before the PLD committee last year, and we looked at it, and we said one of the biggest supermarkets in town is just over the border from Keene and wouldn't have to participate in such a thing. This needs to be done on a statewide basis and not on a municipal basis, and I won't be supporting this.
Councilor Green,
thank you. I just want to make it very clear, I am not in support of the plastic bag discussion and everything that went on with that, but absolutely local control. And any issue that we can have local control is critical to our operations here. So anything else that comes along that we have the option to speak for local control, I would support that too.
I'm just going to echo what Councilor Richards and Councilor Greenwald said. How many times over the years have we sat here and pointed north at Concord saying we can't do anything because we don't have control? I'm not saying I agree with the bill either, but this might be the first. I mean, if we can actually get Concord to maybe listen a little bit and say, give us more local control, what's next? I mean, it could be something we all say, wow, we really needed local control on that. So let's take a baby step and say we would like local control on this, and maybe something else will follow. But if we don't do this, let's stop pointing our fingers at Concord saying they never give us local control, because this is the first step.
So ultimately, three councilors voted against sending this communication to Concord, and all the rest voted for it. It very interesting. I am in favor of local control.
Yeah, me too.
However, I've said many, many times that if it wasn't for the state protecting us from some of this hooliganism, mm-hmm. like bag bans and any other kind of ordinance that they'll just try to run through that might not be constitutional, state constitutional, it would be a very miserable place to live in. And I don't know that, you know, you might have a lot of apathetic voters who would come out of the woodworks if some of this crap was tried.
No.
But it's quite possible it can turn into, you know, San Francisco.
Well, if this bill passes and local control is given to Keene to decide on a bag ban, they will bag bans. Ban bags.
I don't know. I just heard enough players who might not be in favor of it.
They will run it through. They will dredge up the people to show up and cry about their dog who ate a plastic bag and then suddenly died because the bags are poisonous or whatever. Mm-hmm. I do not trust Keene City Council to grow up and deal with it. 25-ish, 30-ish years ago, it was about styrofoam. Styrofoam is going to kill us all in Keene.
And then it was Freon gases from the...
I always heard Freon everywhere. I never heard about styrofoam until I was reading LTEs in the Sentinel from the early 90s. Mm-hmm. So I don't trust Keene with some aspects of local control, because the proof is in, well, how old are you? what exactly do you think is going to happen? And when they say, oh, this is the one time that we are going to get local control and we need local control, and aren't you in favor of local control? Well, why don't they clamor for local control about something else?
You mean like the pension system?
Well, about the pension system, about how much money they send to the state for education that doesn't always come back to us or anything like that. Like you're always talking about, they send all this money and it doesn't come back. And this is, you know, why don't we just not do that? Why don't they argue for local control about that?
Because I know exactly why. Because they do get money back. They do get money back in the form of grants, block grants. They get bridges. Right. They get, you know, half of the school budget, half of it. $30 million is coming from other places, and a lot of it is federal and state grants.
How about any of those people in the state house who represent the Keene area, or, you know, people on city council who are against the war on drugs and, oh, the whole peace movement and all that? Why don't they something about local control about, you know, no recruitment centers, or, you know, not participate, local control about whether they'll participate, the police department will participate in drug raids where we get a little piddling grant back. So they really care about local control, but, oh, it just happens to be this thing that they want to do, and they can't do it because it's illegal. So why don't we just magically make it legal for us to do this?
I think a bag ban is a very easy thing to think about, to wrap your mind around, versus something like telling your police officers to stop enforcing the law when it comes to the war on drugs.
To participate with state and federal raids. That's not the same as just simply enforcing the law. That's not just going to somebody and thumping the skulls that need to be thumped. That's political. That is the failed war on drugs. Here, I'm being a libertarian now.
Yeah. Ooh. I knew I'd do it.
There you go.
I knew I'd do it one day. Guys, we do have to take off. We'll definitely be talking about these issues again, because they're not going away. You got people who just want to be in control of everything. The website, citizenkane.org, every episode, 24 of them are up for your viewing pleasure, as well as the show notes, the articles, and whatnot that we discussed during the show. You can email me anytime during the week, show@citizenkane.org, or you can reach Shauna Cherish at citizenkane.org. Call that number anytime during the week, 267-521-2771, and you can leave a message on that as well. Guys, thank you so much for watching. Shauna, I knew there was some libertarian in you.
Cherish like the verb.
Guys, we'll see you
like
next
the wedding vow.
We will see you next week at the same time. Good night.